Yesterday, the Metropolitan Planning Council held a roundtable event called Can Chicago Thrive in the Trump Era? And it wasn't really a conversation about politics or even the pressing issues of gun violence in the city. It was really about whether or not Chicago stands to gain or lose with current or future infrastructure projects. There are a lot of improvements that need to be made when it comes to climate, transportation, highway, waterways, etc. And the jury's out on whether or not Chicago area will be on the federal government's radar, and whether or not Chicago may have to continue the public-private partnerships that have been developing under Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and he talked about in that big speech not too long ago at Malcolm X College. Joining me in studio, Joyce Coffey. She is the president of Climate Resilience Consulting, and she was a member of that panel at the MPC yesterday. Joyce, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
So how did it go yesterday? I mean, did you guys solve all the problems of the world in that one-hour roundtable?
No, we didn't solve them all, but I think we came up with lots of solutions, and many of them are very pragmatic and really build on best practice that's happened before.
I mean, when we talk about infrastructure, just so let's sort of generically set up, when we talk about the kind of projects that we really want to see what the Trump era can bring, what are we talking about? We're talking about roads? We're talking about what? When I say waterway, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the kinds of infrastructure we're talking about in Chicago have to do with transportation. That's not just roadways. It's also public transit. It's bridges. But it also, especially from the perspective of climate change, has a lot to do with any of the water infrastructure. So that's the pipes under your house that give you potable water, and it's the pipes under your house that take away the dirty water.
And I would assume, you know, even when you talk about the Great Lakes and Lake Michigan and some of the things that are happening because of, erosion, other things that happen around climate change happening to the lakes as well.
Yeah, definitely. That infrastructure, a lot of that would be considered what we call green infrastructure. That's a fancy way of describing things like bioswales and wetlands, anything that has an ecosystem component to it where you can absorb water into a natural system.
Now, how much of those infrastructure program or projects and things that you just mentioned are do we count on the federal government to fund?
You know, I'm not sure what the numbers are in Chicago right now, but I will say that the federal government is a huge supporter of infrastructure. The Department of Transportation, the Department of Energy, somewhat the Department of Housing and Urban Development, all of them have given money through competitive grant programs and other set-asides to cities around the United States, and especially to Chicago at times, for major projects and also just even for upkeep. So the opportunity has always been big from the perspective of large cities getting large amounts of money from the feds. But we also have money from other places for our infrastructure.
Well, we'll talk about the other places because that's the interesting way that we've seen governments, especially local governments, go. We talked about the public-private and what the mayor has done with the setting up funds and otherwise even with the Clinton Foundation down the line. But I'm interested in trying to understand if a new administration comes in that has different politics or determines the federal government to do something differently. And we're kind of seeing that a little bit with the way that there wants to be consolidation or cutting. How does that affect? I mean, do you see the fact that competitive grants and other things will just say, you know what, we're not doing that anymore. Yeah. That's not something you're going to have to figure out where to get that money, but we are not funding this bridge, this waterway. Is that a concern?
It absolutely is a concern. Of course, none of that's happened yet. I mean, the president is so newly in his office. But I think that's a concern. And so is the concern that a lot of things that are going to be remaining as potential sources for money are going to be used for other things. Like just recently, the Federal Highway Authority changed all of its language to remove the word climate. And so now if you wanted to have a project that dealt with the sort of future climate impacts, you'd have to find another way to get that federal highway money. It might just be a matter of changing your wording, but actually it could also be that you'd be competing with other projects that wouldn't be about climate resilience.
And also, And this is something we talked about, you know, right before when Rob was doing the news, the concept that the federal government is also a depository and the leading area for research, for statistics, for information. Uh-huh. And that is where, if a certain administration doesn't necessarily believe in one area, they may defund the research in that area, which is really what is used for all the other public and private institutions to sort of plan around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is a major concern with this administration. And in fact, much of the data that exists already has been removed from the federal websites where it used to live. It's not clear whether or not that will come back. There's some notion that they were just looking at it and they were going to give it back to us later. But I think your point is really important, that it's not just governments that use that information, but also the private sector. I mean, the best decisions are made based upon very quantitative models and analysis that shows, you know, what is the future going to look like, or where am I going to make my next dollar, or where are we going to experience the most extremes of certain things.
Joyce Coffey is my guest. She's the president of Climate Resilience Consulting. She was on the Metropolitan Planning Council roundtable yesterday. Can Chicago thrive in the Trump era? I mean, that question's it's a big one, and it's kind of loaded only in the sense because of the politics, and we see the sort of tit for tat that's happening with Mayor Emanuel and Donald Trump when it comes to the actual politics. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, I mean, you have to, and I wonder aloud a lot, and I just did in the carry out this idea that does Chicago, you know, will it see a negative impact in the fact that it is considered to be a liberal town? It didn't vote for Donald Trump. It is fighting the executive orders that come down. Is that stuff that you and others who are in a different line of work, infrastructure work, that are just trying to get federal government work, do you worry about that kind of stuff when politics sort of get in the way of it?
You know, I think yes, but we can't anticipate that the politics are going to get in the way. I think the bottom line is we have an incredibly pragmatic mayor. He's all about safety, security, and stability. And so is President Trump. And there are lots of ways to imagine shared goals between those two leaders.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a lot of reason for the president and his administration to understand the value of cities as hubs for the more rural population that, you know, came out in more support of the president. But, you know, I think the most important thing to remember is that cities can do a lot on their own. And this may be the era when mayors like Emanuel, who really take no prisoners and get to do what they want because they're, you know, super smart about moving through the system, they get ahead. And it's possible that Chicago could be in that position.
Well, I mean, it's no secret that there has been a movement, a political movement, to essentially offload some of the things that the federal government pays for. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that in the state of Illinois. There's a budget crisis that is happening right now around that ideology, the idea that, you know what, we're not paying for all these services. The private sector has to step up, or we need to find a way for other people to pay for this. I mean, as you see that, I mean, yes, that is going to cause a lot of consternation, especially for people who are caught in the crossfire of that. But that seems to be the direction that most leaders understand that the country is going. Mayor Emanuel talks about it ad nauseum sometimes, about the idea of the private sector, the corporations of Chicago, others need to step up and fund some of these social service projects or projects that have to do with the future infrastructure of the city. Yeah. Is that what we're going to see? I mean, do you see the writing on the wall that from the idea of infrastructure that we're going to be counting on big corporations to essentially fund these things?
Well, I think there's two answers to that. One is very specific to Chicago. I mean, the Metropolitan Planning Council and other places have been really good at inspiring our civic commitment. We have more corporate leadership in Chicago for Chicago than most other cities could ever dream of. So I think it's probable that there will be a lot of stepping up in the corporate community. But the second answer to that question is corporations only work where they're going to make money. The profit motive drives everything, and we can't expect otherwise. And so in terms of infrastructure, especially when we're talking about modernization of infrastructure or renovation, there's not a lot of money to be made there. You know, when you when you tear up Main Street and you replace it with something, you know, a new macadam, no one's making a dime. And so I think one of the answers to that question is we need to set up the systems that allow for the private sector to make money off of the modernization.
But, okay, that is you get into the big sort of, you know, debatable P word of privatization, where, you know, we've seen in Chicago early experiments in privatization when it comes to the parking meters or even some of the skyways and the expressways, where, you know, it feels like the people who are left behind are the people, meaning, you know, now you're paying expensive rates to park and you're paying, you know, to go on the tolls, $6 to an Australian company. And you're not necessarily feeling like, you know, you were ever thought about in this process. This is just about offloading. Do you run the risk of that when you start to say, hey, you know what, let's let the private sector make money off of infrastructure projects?
That's a really important point. I think, of course, tolls are one way to make money off of a project, but I'm thinking about other things too. So, for instance, you could imagine a developer working in Chicago doing some infill or, you know, making a giant condo out of what had been single family homes. And he'd really like for the infrastructure to underneath that property and around it to be able to withstand, you know, an extraordinary right. place and a lot more people. But he doesn't have the incentive to focus on that. Or even when the spade is in the ground, the shovel's already dug up the area to do the other things that are necessary for infrastructure. What if he had a tax incentive to do that? You know, that kind of thing cities can set up, special districts or whatever, to actually allow for the benefits that are going to accrue for the city to actually accrue on the balance sheet of the corporate. And the other just quick answer on that is just that I think in particular the corporate sector is very good at doing benefit cost analysis. You know, what's this going to save me in the long run? What's it going to make me in the long run? And they do it perhaps better than the government.
There's no doubt that they do. I mean, I love this conversation, by the way, because it is something that, you know, we've seen the sort of discussion between private and public, you know, sort of get gray. And the idea that, you know, well, I know from condos I've lived in my life or other places that, you know, they'll do everything they possibly can to cut the corner, to save the money, to do things. So it's, you said it yourself. I mean, the idea that they're about cost benefit and they're trying to make money, it's a financial gain. So the idea that, yes, they could probably do a better job than the federal government's trying their best not to cut the corners. Do you run the risk of faulty, non-union, you know what I mean? But just this idea that you run the risk of essentially having bad infrastructure.
Well, I mean, I suppose I will say
that cheap infrastructure.
That happens even in the federal system too. It's, I mean, really there do need to be systems in place, and there are excellent systems which, by the way, have not been eroded, of you know, everything from an environmental assessment of projects to just the common understanding of how you do engineering. I mean, people who are engineers and planners on these projects, they're all accredited. And you know, one of the things that I think is really important for us to remember is that across the United States, we have an infrastructure grade of a D from the American Society of Civil Engineers. And what that essentially means is that all of our infrastructure is close to failing. Now, they're coming out with new numbers in March, but that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, right.
And engineers know that. I mean, that was stuff they put in place 20 years ago. It wasn't expected to live this long, right?
There's something to be said about that. Yeah. I mean, maybe, you know, the thinking about how we do infrastructures, we've seen with the crumbling infrastructure of bridges and roads and whatever, it's always been on the federal government's back. Perhaps they're not doing it in a great way if their grade is a D.
Right. And so, I mean, we could assume that the system, you know, could be really shaken up by this president and we could see some changes. I mean, two things I would just suggest we examine. One is the National Infrastructure Bank that President-elect Trump talked about. And couldn't that be a bank that actually funded renovation of existing infrastructure instead of all sorts of new stuff, right? I mean, that would be amazing. And then the second thing is that the federal government has a lot to say about how benefit cost is performed. What if they made the benefit cost models so that we were actually looking at these future risks a lot more closely?
It is a great conversation to have, and I got to have you back. Joyce Coffey, president of Climate Resilience Consulting. We didn't really talk about climate change, which was really what we want to get into, but I love the concept of how are we going to improve infrastructure, not just from, you know, making sure there's federal funds, but maybe rethinking the formula. She was part of the roundtable event at the Metropolitan Planning Council yesterday. Can Chicago thrive in the Trump era? Joyce, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Justin.